Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah qade masno dukhe dil ka marham, nikah qade masno dukhe dil ka marham, ye farma gaye hai rasool e mukarram, ye farma gaye hai رسول مکرم, یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ, یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ, اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg, the land of Asia, which is today the 3rd of Ramadan 1443, corresponding to the fifth of April 2022. I want to welcome, of course, our beloved listeners, Sirius FM, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, let's welcome him back, our beloved engineer, brother Bondface, who's back with us. He will be with us, inshallah, till 12 o'clock. Remember, listeners, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad on our bliss of marriage. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafa'at jazakallahu khairan.
Let's begin with the first question, Ustad, from KZN. It says, Mufti Sab, can I get married over the phone, but will only see my husband in December? Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before I respond to that question, one announcement. Inshallah, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for Ramadan, we will have a special Q&A between 2 and 2.30, inshallah. Brother Yusuf Ali and myself, between 2 and 2.30, there will be a special Q&A. So those of you listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International or Sirius FM or of Radio Garden, so inshallah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there will be the live Q&A, inshallah al-Aziz. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In response to the query and question that now you want to get married and you say by telephone, so that is not valid in Islam. The easy way will be, whether we are in the same country, you are in Durban and the boy is here in Johannesburg or Cape Town or Pretoria. So what you should do is you appoint somebody as your wakil. Even now when we perform a nikah and a marriage there in the masjid, so the lady does not come to the masjid, she appoints somebody as a wakil, a representative, and then we ask him the question that is she happy to get married to so and so and so forth. Then he will say yes, and thereafter we will then perform the khutbah, and thereafter we perform that ijab qabul takes place, meaning that then we say that this boy is prepared to marry you, and then the nikah takes place and so forth. So similarly here also, that you appoint somebody as the wakil in this town here, Durban, Johannesburg, in this city, or the other way around, the boy appoints somebody as his wakil there, wakil mean representative, there in your town, your city, in Durban for example, and he will act on his behalf. So that will be the easy way out. Similarly, if it is different countries, the same law will apply, that you are in South Africa and he is there in London, New York, India, Pakistan, Dubai, wherever. So one party has to appoint a wakil in that town or city where the other party is, and then that nikah will be valid in that manner. Obviously, beside the wakil, you will need two male witnesses, the Muslim, and the girl must be happy, the boy must be happy, the girl's father must have given permission. Then if the father is not there, then the grandfather, the dada, paternal grandfather, he is not there, then the uncle or the brother, somebody from the male side must give permission. Then only that nikah will be valid. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif and Abu Dawood, la nikaha illa bi waliyin. Nikah is not valid except with the consent of the guardian. So we need to take all these matters into consideration as well.
Somebody says here, respected Mufti Saab, my mother-in-law, I just cannot understand her. She always makes bedside comments when my husband gives them gifts. So how do we keep the muhabbat to start?
So you must remember, you and your husband must cement your relationship. You both must be on the same page. Read Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood. And to all the esteemed listeners of the various radio stations, if you haven't started it, so start today. Remember that daily now in Ramadan and post-Ramadan as well. Make sure we are reading the 99 wonderful, beautiful names of all Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Walillahi al-Asma'ul Husna, Fad'uhu biha. That Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has beautiful names, and invoke and call Almighty Allah by his beautiful, wonderful names. Chapter 7, verse 180. And remember Bukhari Sharif's hadith, Man hafidaha dakhal al-Jannah. You by heart eat the beautiful 99 names of Allah, you enter Jannah. Tirmidhi Sharif's hadith, Man ahsaha dakhal al-Jannah. You look inside and you read the 99 names of Allah, you enter Jannah and paradise. So you should read husband, wife, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood. So once your relationship is cemented and secure, thereafter remember you have a joint strategy how to deal with the mother-in-law and your mother. So that is the lady. Then you speak to your mother, or you speak to the mother-in-law together and so forth, and tell her that you know that why you cause problems like this, unnecessary and so forth. And some people just want to show their authority, so therefore they do these type of things. But you don't sever ties. You the son-in-law, you don't sever ties with her. You can curtail ties, but don't sever ties with her.
Somebody says here, Ustad, can I marry my mother's daughter? We have two different fathers, Ustad. Anonymous.
Totally haram, you must remember. So you are akhun li ummin and ukhtun li ummin. You are uterine brother, uterine sister. So it means you come from the same mother. Totally haram it is. If you marry and you say it's permissible, you'll go right out of the fold of Islam. So you must remember that you are a mahram for her. So you can't marry your mahram. You must remember that. Hurrimat alaykum ummahatukum wa banatukum wa akhawatukum. Chapter 4, verse 23. Your mothers are haram for you. Your daughters are haram for you. Your sisters are haram for you. So sisters' connotation meaning is three. Full sister, you share the same parents. Half sister, from the father's side, same father you have. Or third one, you share the same mother. So remember, absolutely haram for you to marry the lady when you have the same biological mother, or you have the same biological father, or the same parents.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, are you allowed to make nikah in Ramadan?
100%. Today is the 3rd of Ramadan, and on the 3rd of Ramadan, remember, it was the 11th year after the Hijrah, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fatima Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, that she is the leader of the women in Jannah, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. When she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in the second year of the Hijrah during Ramadan, she was 15 years, 5 months, so 15 and a half years plus minus. Then you just add another 9 years. So remember, in the 11th year, on the 3rd of Ramadan, she passed away. So when she passed away, she was 24 years old. And today is the day she passes away, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So remember, she was so sad, because 6 months prior to that, in the 11th year of the Hijrah, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise took place. All the children of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the master, peace be upon him, all passed away during his lifetime, during the lifetime of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. And therefore, she didn't smile for that 6 months, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, and she would say and recite the poetry, Subbat alayya masaibu, lo annaha subbat alal ayyami sirna layaliya, that such a calamity has befallen me, that if it falls on the days should become and transform into nights. And then in Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif, various compilations, when the incident took place, the day the Master alayhi salatu salam's demise took place, Monday, the 12th of Rabiul Awal, the 11th year after the Hijrah, so you must remember, she said, Ajaba Rabban Da'a, you have answered the call of Almighty Allah. Ya Abata, Man Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa, oh my beloved father, that now your resting place is Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Abata, Ila Jibreel Nan'a, to Jibreel we will announce that you have passed away and your demise has taken place. So therefore we must remember that Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha got married to Sayyida Ali radiallahu an during the month of Ramadan, and it was the second year after the Hijrah, and her age was 15 years 5 months, and therefore to get married during Ramadan, totally permissible. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah himself, but remember that you get married during Ramadan and then you have lot of dates, then there can be big trouble also. So be very careful when you just get married during Ramadan, then you must stay away from one another during the fasting hours. Today one person sent a question this morning. He said, can he give a peck to his wife, you know? So I said, if you're giving a peck on the neck, then it's fine. He said, no, you want to kiss her on the lips and all that. I said, no, lucky lips business no good. You can't do that. You must remember, French kiss, German kiss, Italian kiss, and the saliva, all that, your fast is broken then. So you must be very, very careful. And we're not saying you mustn't get married. Get married. But remember, if you get married in Shawwal, it's very good. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha states, Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi Shawwal. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married me. The nikah took place in Shawwal. It was the 10th of Shawwal. And remember, she had no children, our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And she would encourage her nephews, nieces, all of them to get married during Shawwal. And if you want the date 10th Shawwal, the reference open Mirqat, the commentary of Mishkat Sharif by Mullah Ali Qari, you will find it there inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Baad says, Mufti Sahib, you mentioned Italian kiss, Ustad. Somebody says, Ustad, delivering food as a food driver, like Uber. They say, like Uber, eat or skip is haram or not. Is there any authentic hadith related to this? It is important because a family member is doing it as the only source of income, but came across a hadith online but is confused whether it's authentic or not, Ustad.
100% authentic. You must remember that if you are delivering and you deliver pork or you deliver alcohol, khamar and khinzir, so all that will be totally haram. Why? The Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in sin and transgression. If it is something like pork and all that, like we see all that's going viral, pork sausages with halal certificate, astaghfirullah, Allah forbid. So you must remember that such people who make a mockery of Islam, if they do this deliberately, intentionally, they go out of the fold of Islam. O lahma khinzirin fa innahu ritz, all Mighty Allah calls it napak. And the khinzir, the swine, is bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side. Every particle of it is haram and not permissible. The next one will be khamar. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Ibn Majah, 10 people are cursed by Almighty Allah jalla wala, whether the buyer, the seller, the person who squeezed it, the person who transports it, the person who is organizing it, all that. Remember, two industries in Islam are condemned A to Z, from starting to ending. One is interest and riba, sood, viaj, and one is khamar, alcohol, and your daru, and all that. So Islam will not allow even one drop of it. Ma askara kathiruhu faqalilu haram. Whatever intoxicates in large quantities, the minutest quantity is also haram and not permissible. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, there's a non-Muslim sister who's listening to the program. Her name is Rebecca, and she says that her friend listens to you in the morning show, Elizabeth. So Sister Rebecca says, to you, sir, morning. I am a non-Muslim sister, and I am a very great cook. Can I cook for Muslim weddings if they supply me all the ingredients? Rebecca, Ustad.
Thank you, my sister Rebecca, and to your sister Elizabeth.
Friend.
Very good.
A friend, Elizabeth.
A friend, Elizabeth. So you must remember that both of you, very good. You must keep on listening and so forth and so on. See, my sister Rebecca, from the noble Quran, I'll read for you. Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. O humankind, that consume that from the land and the sand, which is halal, it is lawful, and it is tayyib, it is pure and wholesome. So you see, my sister Rebecca, that what we consume, the solids, the liquids, whatever it is, so you must remember it has a direct impact on our deeds and actions. So you must open, my sister Rebecca, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse 168. So halalan, it must be lawful. Tayyiba, it must be pure and wholesome. وَلَا تَتَّبِئُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And never ever follow the path of the footsteps of Shaitan and the cronies and comrades of Lucifer and Satan and Satan and so forth. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Because he is your open manifest enemy. Chapter 2, verse number 168. Thereafter I made a statement and said that whatever we consume, remember, will have a direct impact on our deeds, on our actions. Almighty Allah addresses the prophets and messengers. In this verse, Almighty Allah addresses Ya ayyuhan nas, O humanity, O people. Chapter 2, verse 168. And the verse I'm reading to you now, Almighty Allah addresses the messengers, the prophets who were selected by Almighty Allah Himself. Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibati وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. O you prophets and messengers selected by Almighty Allah, not elected by people, consume that which is pure and wholesome. Here the word طَيِّبَات is mentioned. And وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, do the righteous good deeds. Chapter number 23, Surah Mu'minun, verse number 51. Now we take these two verses, and now if we have a non-Muslim cook, كَائِنًا مَنْ كَانُ, whoever it it is, whether it's Rebecca, Tom, Dick and Harry, or Tom, Dick and Mary, but they are non-Muslim. So what will we say? We will say definitely not permissible. Why not permissible? Even if we supply all the ingredients and everything, because you must remember, we want that to be, you must remember, halalan tayyiba. It must be lawful and it must be wholesome and pure and so forth. So you must remember that we, regarding our food and our dietary laws, we can't remember rely on non-Muslims. Therefore, today, these halal logos, I myself, I say, and if you're hearing me or you ask your friend Elizabeth, she will tell you that I always say these halal logos are not worth the paper on which they are written. Some places, the owner and the manager of that restaurant, that outlet are non-Muslims, but they got halal certificate. Some places, the owner is Muslim, but everybody running it there, the manager, the staff are non-Muslim. So how can we rely on non-Muslims and so forth? So therefore, my sister, that would not be acceptable and permissible. So we must eat and consume that which is halal and tayyiba. It must be lawful and it must be pure and wholesome. So if you want, Sister Rebecca, the easy solution, you embrace Islam and then you get married, mashallah, to a Muslim male, and thereafter that you and your husband, that you run the catering department and so forth, you'll cook for the people. So no problem then. So everything will then be lungile, everything will be fine and halal, but the prerequisite will be you have to embrace Islam.
I see Sister Rebecca says, thank you so much, but she is not married, Ustad. And she says, maybe I should look for a nice Muslim male, because I heard Muslim males are very nice, Ustad.
Yes, you should, but first you must become Muslim yourself. Thereafter, the Muslim male can marry you. So some are very good, some are good, some are a little bit mixed up also. Yeah, you get all types, you know. But anyway, that is our invitation to you. We don't impose upon anybody. We leave it to you. It must be from your inner conviction. Muslim men are nice and good in the sense, if the true Muslim, he will never touch wine and swine. And you know with wine and swine, how many problems happen. The wife, they get assaulted, and so many things happen because they're not in control of their emotions and desires after they have so much wine and swine and so forth. So therefore, Islam taught us, you must stay away from that. They are totally, absolutely haram and unlawful.
Ustad, on that same question, I don't know if I should read this. The brother did say, yeah, it says, Jim Muftisab, is the truth that the alims are selling pork to make money. How do we protect ourselves, Muftisab? And what must we do if family invite us to meals? We're not sure whether the meat comes from where. Should we accept such invitations, Ustad?
Yeah, there are three issues. Obviously, we can't say blanket statement and general statement that all the alims, that's also wrong. But definitely, you can say some maulvi, some sheikh, some imam, some ulama, they're involved in this trade, yeah, just for money-making purposes. There's nothing to render a service. It's not yu'minuna bil ghaib, that is to believe in the unseen. It's yu'minuna bil jayb, how much they can put in their pocket. That is a big problem today. Islam is being commercialized. You must remember that this is Sharia compliant, this is halal, that is halal, and then who is behind it? The names are there. So once you have concrete evidence, like that brother there, he had concrete evidence and he went viral with it and so forth. So that is right. You must name them and shame them. You must remember that. So I'm not saying you have to make a video and so forth. You can just show the logo and send it out and say, and you just print the voice with it, that see, that this is what you found and so forth and so on. So once you are 100% sure that you have the concrete evidence, then you must name them and shame them. That is what Islam teaches us. Falls under the category of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, commanding the good and forbidding the evil. So first statement, we say you can't make a blanket statement, all the ulama ulama. No, that will be wrong. Second one is some ulama, some imam, some sheikh, 100% we agree with that and concur with you. Third one, once you have concrete evidence and so forth, then you must name them and shame them. The next point, now you are invited, ABC place, XYZ, and it's Ramadan or after Ramadan or whatever. So what do you do in a case like that? So take these two ahadith and then you practice on it. One day, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, the beloved Nawasa, the beloved grandson, sipped to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw dates lying on the ground and so forth. He just wanted to pick it up. He was very young and he wanted to eat it. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved grandfather, saw the beloved grandson and said, that is the sababul wurud, the background and the reason for this statement and advice of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which puts you and places you in doubt and opt for that in which there's no doubt. So if they give you 10 things, 1, 2 things you got doubt, so leave those things in which you got doubt and you consume that which there is no doubt in. So that is what you should do, the first thing. Second one, that go to the, this hadith in Tirmidhi and is authentic. Second one, go to Musnad Ahmad, the hadith of Wabisa bin Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala an. So Wabisa radiallahu ta'ala an, who says, I asked Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about ism, what is a sin and so forth and so on. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving advice and said, ma haka fi sadrik, that agitates your mind, your conscience, it works on your mind and conscience, wa karihta ayyatwali alayhi nas, you dislike the people to come to know about it, cloak and dagger business, clandestine activities, so all these kind of things are sinful. Then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on, and that is to do with our question and answer now. So when you have doubt, then practice on this. Istafti qalbak, istafti nafsak, ask your own heart, ask your own conscience. Wa in aftak an nas, although some people, ulama scholars, they gave fatwa is permissible, you must ask your own conscience and your own heart. So that it put these two hadiths together, and then you will find your answer. How many times I'm invited here and there for lectures, people invite me, I just tell them that these things here, I'll tell them, or tell the Maulana in that town, just tell them that these things I don't eat, and this I just say for health reasons or what have you. So you must remember that when you are invited, then it's best for you to tell them what you will eat and so forth, rather than them making 10-20 meals there. People go beyond overboard, and then, you know, then they feel upset and so forth. So rather from the start you tell them, and that will be the easiest way out to solve the problem.
Let's go to Bossman Ustad, Opa. It says here, Omar Sarki says, Mufti Sab, Opa Hanif is sick, very sick. Can I rub him with Vicks? He is fasting, Ustad.
MashaAllah, Opa and Omar, set up this stool. MashaAllah. So, and you are in Bosmon. And now, as Opa, Biki sick, ne? So, Omar would Biki Surah Fatiha, Basha, and Lias. And then you would be dumb for the Opa. So, you can be dumb now, Omar. So, you must read Surah Fatiha 7 times, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, and then you blow on him, and he'll come right. He'll get young again. So if you want to put some Vicks and all that, so there's no problem while he's fasting, tell him, Opa, turn around, and you put on his back or you put on his chest of the boars and alles, so alles is rech. But you mustn't take the Vicks and put right by his nose and all that, then that will break the fast. So Oma, Allah give you Shifa, Allah give Opa Hanif ok Shifa, and inshallah we all making dua for Opa also. Every day I have program here in the Jami Masjid just before iftar, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and daily we make dua for all the people who are ill and sick. So give out some charity also. So what Omar is going to do? 3 things. Omar and the family going to recite Surah Fatiha Alhamdu 7 times, and then you blow on Opa. And then second, you tell Opa dry om. So you turn him around, and on on his back, on his stomach, on his chest, all that you rub for him, the wicks. So all that will be fine, no problem. Don't bring it up there by the nose and so forth. And then third one, you give out 1 rand, 2 rand, da'u mardakum bi sadaqa. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith in the marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, that give out some charity in cash or kind. You just give a packet of biscuits or whatever there to a poor person, your maid or some Muslim person, Muslim poor person, non-Muslim. So anybody you give some charity. So that is also one form of dawa and medication. We make dua, Ya Allah Jalla Wala, Allah Mashfihi, Allah Ma'afihi. Ya Allah, give Buddha and Opa Hanif Siha Afia and good health, inshaAllah. And learn the dua that is mentioned by Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, wonderful hadith kitab. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-iffata wa siha. Ya Allah, I beg of you that I remain chaste. Today so many things are going on. People having affairs, people having extramarital relationship. Even in Ramadan, Allah forbid. Wa siha, and give us good health, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya, intermedi Ibn Majah and so forth. Ya Allah, we ask of you forgiveness, and we ask of you, Ya Allah, safety, comfort, and good health, wealth that is halal. So all these du'as, read it, and inshallah, Allah Jalla Wala will make life easy for us.
I see Omar Sarki says, but Opa is also Biki Stout, Mufti Saab, from Bosman.
Yeah, Opa is Biki Stout, so you must say 102 mark, you see. So you must tie his hands up, you see, and say, Opa, we are arresting you now, you see. So you fasten his hands up, and then you put all that on this thing. Before he can touch here and touch there, because Opa is old, Marazni Koutini. So you must remember, Opa is old, but he's not cold. So now when he sees no rub, then he also, he, things get a little bit hot. So you must tie his hands up a little bit, and then as Allah's rech Oma, inshallah.
So Ustad, a sister's husband doesn't give her an allowance. He supports the household with lights, water, groceries, and the children. She sells things on WhatsApp for herself when she needs money. Is it required of him or his choice, Ustad?
Remember that when the husband, he has so much that he can afford jeb kharj. We call it jeb kharj, pocket money. So that will be, and one is first, what is compulsory upon you. So Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with justice and equity and so forth. And remember, Quran says, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَأَتِمْ مِنْ سَأَتِ. Every husband should spend according to his means and so forth. So now, one is things that are compulsory. You have to give shelter, you have to give food, you have to give clothing, you have to give medication. All that is farz, is compulsory. Second one is akhlaqi farz. Akhlaqi farz means a moral obligation. So remember, especially now in Ramadan and so forth. So you give your wife a little bit extra, tell her, oh honey, take the money and so forth. So she also will feel so special, and so we want to give charity, yeah, charity, yeah. The biggest charity, wabda' biman ta'ul. These Westerners and non-Muslims, they stole so many things from the Quran Sharif, so many things from the ahadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I give you example. Wabda' biman ta'ul. Open hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed. Charity begins at home. So this is the meaning of it. Second one, Hubbuka Shay Yu'mi wa Yusim. Love is blind. So Islam said love is blind and deaf. And the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Like that you will find plenty. You must remember the wisdom of Solomon. You need to unravel this knot. When he, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, refurbished and renovated Majidul Aqsa, then he begged Almighty Allah, وواتئ حكمي حكمك. يا الله, my judgment must concur with your verdict. يا الله, my verdict must concur with your judgment. So you call that the wisdom of Solomon. So they stole all this from the hadith. The hadith is in Sunan Nasai. So the point I'm making here is this, that each one of us should know that, remember, in Quran and Sunnah, we will find our solution and so forth.
Somebody sent a message now, Ustad. It says that Mufti AK, please send link to take objection against Shaitan vaccination. We are against those vaccines. Ustad, anonymous.
There's more. Yesterday also I sent it out. Today also I sent it out to thousands of people. And I sent it to Mona Zahid also. And I said, Mona, send it to all your contacts. So what I will do, inshallah, after the program between 12 and 12:30 before Zohar, so I'll send it to Mona Arafat also. And Mona Arafat, you will send it to all your contacts. Make a note of that person there. And inshallah, you got the number, inshallah?
Yeah, got a number, Ustaz.
Yeah. And then you just forward it to them. And inshallah, we must stand up. Remember, all the people, whether you are Muslim, whether you Jew, whether you Christian, whether you Hindu, even if you atheist, you must object on it. Why? Because remember, they tell us that South Africa is a democracy, but with this proposed legislation, you must remember, they will make the vaccine mandatory and compulsory. They can take us to quarantine whenever they feel like, and we got no say in the matter. So what has happened to our civil rights, our civil liberties? What has happened to the freedom of religion? So they can't override all these things. Yeah. So on the today is the 3rd of Ramadan and the 5th of April. So 15th of April is cut off date. So we got these 10 days. So mobilize the people. MashaAllah, I sent one email address to the people yesterday. So today I got feedback. They say that that email is packed to capacity and they don't want to accept anything more. So fine, we got another 4 or 5 emails. So I sent it out today. So Maulana, you also please send it out. And all the brothers of Markaz Sahaba, inshallah, we keep on sending it out to conscientize the people, mobilize them. Remember, we must show we are a force to be reckoned with. You can't come here and just tamper with our religion and make mudakhala fi deen and intervene and impose upon us. And that's why I'm appealing to the Christian, the Jews and the Hindus and all non-Muslims as well, that everyone should stand up and take the strongest objections on what the government wants to try and do. The people who are the real criminals stealing millions and billions, they are running around scot-free, and we who are the most peaceful people, now you want to come and subject us to all these haram and illegal things from a religious perspective. For us, it's not permissible. So therefore, we must be very firm on these type of issues.
Before we go for an ad break, somebody says, I am a second wife to my new husband, dear Mufti Saab, but his children can't accept me. Should I get out of this marriage or not? My Ramadan has spoiled already, Ustad.
But sister, let us look at things right. Be fair. I don't know you. I don't know your husband, all that. I'm asking you one simple question. When he came to propose to you, did you know or didn't you know that he had a wife? Obviously, you knew. Second one, did you know he had children or not? Obviously, you knew. But yet you went in. So do you really blame them or you blame yourself? وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Therefore, I always tell you, the man, that for you nowadays to get married 80%, 90% of the time, second wife, third wife, fourth wife is not permissible. Why? Because Quran says so. Surah number 4, Surah Nisa, verse 3. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you fear you can't do true justice to your wives, then stick to your first wife, a wahida, all this gold, finish, end of the story. But you want to try second wife, and you want to try second husband, and you want to go there, you know Now you upset him, you upset the first wife. Now the children will never accept you, because that first wife, she will key them up and tune them up also. So you make istikhara what you want to do. We never ever advocate divorce. We always will say jorna hai naketorna, that make the home rather than break the home. But it is your choice. But my aim, my message to you, sister, you who got married, you must blame yourself for all this mess you landed yourself up in. No sense blaming other people. And that's what Quran Kareem states, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, it's because of your own deeds and your own actions.
Well, it's 13 minutes to 12 o'clock. Dear Mufti Saab, what is the status of a widow in Islam, and the duties of the children to take care of their widowed mother? Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Remember that Islam is that religion Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wida, where the Master alayhi salatu salam addressed 124,000 Sahaba approximately, and that became the final charter constitution for humanity and posterity. Inna Allah قَدْ أَعْطَى كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقًّا. Every person who's eligible to certain rights, Almighty Allah gave them rights. Open Mishkat Sharif, open Muslim Sharif, so many Vadis Kitabs, you will find all the details there, and so forth and so on. So that's one. Two, when the father passes away, whenever I hear somebody's father passed away, so I call the sons and I tell them they must tell their sisters as well. I said, see, now your mother is alone. If you really want Jannat, you must remember then go serve her, your mother, the maximum amount. Why? Because the hadith states, Al Jannatu tahta qadamil ummahat, innal jannata inda rijliha. Go open Mishkat Sharif, you will find this type of a hadith. So Jannat and paradise lies at her feet. So we, the sons especially, because we're so busy with our shop, our job, our wives, our own children, so sometimes people become neglectful of their beloved mother and they forget all the sacrifices she made. A mother and father, remember, irreplaceable. Everything else, everybody else are replaceable. Your car, your cell phone and your computer, all that replaceable. So brothers, maybe you'll still get more brothers or sisters, but father, mother, you won't get. So you must always remember that. So that is one point. Second one is this, that you, the daughter, also, you also should take care of your mother when she's a widow, even though you are married. So how are you going to do that? So by contacting her when holidays come, if you get permission, you come there, and so forth and so on. Give her money, give her presents, and so forth. So all that, Islam will say, the onus responsibility is on the children and the grandchildren. So that's one. But in today's capitalistic secular society, everybody, 90%, 80%, leading their own life and leading their own lifestyle also. So if the mother, now the children are not bothered about her and they're not really concerned, she's really suffering, she hardly got money for food and water lights and so forth, then we, the people of the town and the community, we must rally around and give your zakat, give your sadaqah and so forth and so on. So that is Islam. Islam will broaden and widen the circle. So initial responsibility will be the sons and daughters, grandchildren. But if the family are neglecting her, then the broader and wider community, remember, we must get involved, and especially with a Muslim lady, and she's down and out. The children are guilty of a major, major sin. Kullu dhammin insha'a fa'anu wa insha'a dhaba. Every vice and every sin is the prerogative of Allah alone. Either He forgives the person or either He punishes the person. Illa uquq al-walidain, except when you are disobedient, rebellious to your parents. Fa inna Allah yuajjilu uquubatahu li sahibi fil hayati qabla mawti. Allah unleashes the punishment on those sons and daughters and grandchildren in this worldly life life before death overtakes them. Open Bay Hakim Mishkat Sharif, you will find the hadith. So therefore they will be guilty as charged. But me and you as Muslims, we must rise up to the occasion. People have zakat, people have all this, so give her, and in that way she can be empowered and so forth and so on. So that is what Islam will teach us.
So Ustad, what happens here, Ustad? Out of anger, I told my wife to pack her things and go. She left and went to her sister, Ustad. Now 5 months later, she wants to come home. Her sister says we must remarry first. But I never uttered the words of divorce or talaq. Must I remarry her, Ustad?
You must remember that. Let's go back 5 months, 6 months, whatever. One is you were angry. So your anger, remember that when people issue talaq, then they say they were angry. So my response to that is, when making love, then nobody issues talaq. So normally it is in anger. So your case here, you told her you were angry, pick up your bags and go. So there are two, three different scenarios. Scenario number one, if you told her pick up and go, and you made intention of talaq, so then it's one talaq, a buy-in, and then you can reconcile. You, the two of you, get married, perform a new nikah, and for future purposes, then you must remember that you only possess two talaq. Second scenario, you were angry and you told her get out, pack your bags up and go and so forth, but you did not make intention of talaq, or you are blank, you don't know that whether you made intention or not, and you are speaking the truth, then remember in those cases the nikah is still valid. There's no need for you all to get married again or anything of that sort. Tajdidun nikah, the two of you, so she can come back if you are 100% sure that you did not make intention of divorce. And then now is the golden time, is Ramadan. So what Ramadan is that you are in Hong Kong and she is there in Durban or Cape Town and so forth. So the two of you get together and make mafa mafi and ask one another for forgiveness. And Ramadan time, Sehri time, after you have the dates and you have the banana and you have the fruit or whatever you are eating, eggs and toast. So then both of you, after you reconcile, then make dua together. Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Rabbana Hablana min Azwajina wa Dhurriyyatina. Ya Allah, you are the creator of love. Bring that love and that spark back in our marriage. Ya Allah, grant us as spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read abundant istighfar during the day, and more so suhoor time, sehri time. Wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. Then Allah will join the hearts also, inshallah. So my advice, the two of you reconcile immediately. If you made intention of talaq, then reconcile with a new nikah. If you did not make intention of talaq, then reconcile. No need for new nikah. And then be very careful, because you're reconciling after 5-6 months, so things will get a little bit hot also, you know. So leave all that for gymnastics for the night. Don't get busy daytime, you see. You must be very careful about that.
The sister says, Ustad, I married 3 months ago. Yesterday, for the first time, my husband told me about his 4 children who he is paying child support for. I am his first legal wife. Can I ask for divorce? I am coming to Lanesha, Muftisab, with my father. If Muftisab can make some time for us today, Ustad.
No. I don't get involved in these things here. You don't come here. You want to go to the ulama, the jamiyat here, or whoever you want to go. But you don't come here. I don't entertain all this. Okay, this is the history and geography of the whole thing. I know this kind of incidents take place. And my advice, what I will give you. So your husband was a Romeo. Your husband was a Casanova. He was busy parking in the parking lot. He was busy parking in the loading zone and lot of places he was parking. So now he made 4 children, haram children. You understand? So now with this lady, that lady. So each one took him to court and said that you have to pay now and maintenance and so forth. Otherwise, strong too. And they're going to put him in jail or what have you. So now he said he wants to straighten his life and he wants to become a better Muslim and and so forth. So he got married to you. He did not disclose about his, you know, past and Casanova, Bromio business and parking business and so forth. Now you married 3 months and so forth. It seems the way you pose the question, you don't have any other complaint against your husband beside this. So my sister, my advice to you, he must be given 100 lashes. Remember that, for all his fornication. So that is 100% in his place. But if he is turning a new leaf and he made really tawbah and repented and so forth, and he is now becoming a good Muslim and so forth, you didn't know about it, so he left it for Ramadan because your heart will be soft and so forth. So the Quran Kareem states, Allah tuhibbuna ayyaghfirallahu lakum. Do you not want Almighty Allah to forgive you? So my advice, I'm not passing fatwa, but I'm giving you advice as a brother to a sister. I don't know you. I don't know your Casanova or whatever, but I do know what Quran is saying. Allah tuhibbun. Do you not love, O Muslim, that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala forgives you? So remember my advice. This is, I'm repeating the word, my advice to you. Allah tuhibbuna ayyaghfirallahu lakum. Chapter number 24, Surah Nur, verse 22. That, do you not love that Almighty Allah forgive you? So tell him, okay, this is the status quo now. You were busy with all these type of things. This is the document, you sign it. If you are guilty of having affair while this marriage subsists, if you commit adultery, then you as the wife, you have the right of issuing the talaq, and that is called tafwizu talaq. So that is what my advice to you. So you safeguard yourself, you give him another chance in life, and if you forgave him, Allah will forgive you more and more. And now he got caught up in whatever, so he's paying for those 4 children. So that will be my advice to you, my sister. But you want to go to other ulama, already you welcome, but you don't come here. Yeah, you're not welcome. There you go, but they'll welcome you, inshallah. I gave you my 2 cents advice, and then you accept it. That's your prerogative. You don't like it, so then you go to the other ulama and you see what they got to say. Okay, mashallah, 12 o'clock will be the news headline with brother, news bulletin inshallah with brother Yusuf Ali, and 12 to 1 will be Moana Ilyas Patel, mashallah, with the wonderful talk inshallah. 1 o'clock adhan, 105 to 130 we got Surah to Shura, chapter number 42 of the Noble Quran, verses 16 to 23. 130 to 2 will be Surah Anbiya, chapter 21, verses 98 to 100. Don't forget 2 announcements. Number 1, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday between 2 and 2:30 we have special Ramadan Q&A, Yusuf Ali, my brother, and myself. And remember that it will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so starting today inshallah. And those of you who want that article regarding the objections, we sent it already to Maulana Arafat, so just contact Maulana Arafat and he will forward it to you. There are various emails there, so you send to all the emails, and inshallah we must protest and raise strong objections on that, inshallah. Then 2:30 to 3 will be current affairs with brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3:40 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3:40 to 4 will be the Urdu lecture, Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi. And thereafter will be 4 to 5:20 Mona Khalid Yaqub. And then 5:20 to Durban iftar time will be inshallah Hafiz Wadi. And then the Sunnah Surahs. And then remember brother Yusuf Ali and Mona Zahid Khan. And thereafter around 7:15 or so we go for the local Taraweeh to Marisburg. And then 8:25 we go for the international Taraweeh. And then at 10 o'clock 5 past 10 Mufti Yaqub Valley, his synopsis of the Tafsir. And 10:30 to 11 Mona Dawood Siddat. So you got a wonderful lineup, inshallah. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Barakallahu Fik. Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 3 to 6, Noor al-Suhoor. That is the Noor of Sihri. Well, for myself and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad, up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.